Did you guys happen to do the seven, the reading last night for the consolation?
Yeah, we're done with that time.
Well, I did not.
Okay, Isaiah 51. This is the fourth week of the seven of consolation, or the seven consolations that are read between the Fast of Ab and Rosh Hashanah.
Were we supposed to get an email on these things? So we
didn't.
Have asked that question.
I will ask John. I'll send it out. Maybe you can send it out.
Okay.
I'll get right on.
Get right on that.
It's Isaiah 51:12 to 52:12. I've had a really bad few days. All of those muscle spasms are back in spades, hearts and clubs and diamonds.
I heard they were in new locations, though.
Yeah, they are. Well, no, they're not. The spasms aren't in a new location. The trigger point is in a new location.
Bojo tell you this theory?
No.
He thinks it's maybe a good thing, that it may be that you developed the stuff you've been developing to the point where now the problem has moved.
Or maybe I can now feel it. Anyway. Remember, the seven consolations, they don't even know why they read them, at least from what I've been able to study. But they are to console Israel after the destruction of the temple, everything that now is. And so, in type, they are to console you while you wait for the promise on high, the birth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not that he is going to be born in you. He's already been born. The question is, is it going to be manifest in you? So this one is pretty interesting. Verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Now, remember on Rosh Hashanah, it's also supposedly the day that in Genesis 1 that the Holy Spirit moved over the face of the waters. So it's the day of creation of the earth. It's the day of... Have you sent out the Rosh Hashanah memo yet?
Get right on that.
The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now remember, the word Zion means what?
Dry place.
Desolate. Without life. Now, Zion became the name, another name for Israel. So at the time of John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest that have ever born a woman that has ever lived. In his baptism, he took the people to the other side of the Jordan. And by doing so, they testified that they weren't worthy to be the people of Zion. And that's going to happen between in the days of awe, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so, this is critical. You have to recognize that there is nothing about you that's worthy to be considered, even for the next breath.
I had that experience the other day of what you just said, of actually feeling like dirt, you know, because there's nothing about my life that's, you know, exemplary or whatever. But the seed grows in dirt. I mean, it's planted in dirt. So I don't worry about what I do or who I am.
Right. Awake, awake, stand up. Remember, that's the reading, or the blessing for Rosh Hashanah. Remember, huh?
Yeah, blowing the horn.
Awake, you fallen asleep in life.
Blessed are those who know what that means. Hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any left that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. That's an incredible statement. These two things are come unto thee. Oh, God. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord and rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord thy God, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Now again, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now what garment is it that you put on? There's only, I mean, do you understand? I'm just overwhelmed as I've watched everything lately, but that all man's problems comes from his need to be right. The minute you have a need to be right, everything goes. Everything is lost. Do you know what that means? Among all people? Do Harry and Gary know what that means?
We'll see.
What?
I'm just trying to come up with some witty comment and it's not coming.
A Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. That's a guarantee, because the new Jerusalem now is the overriding reality. And you can't go into it except you came from it. And the only way you came from it is if you were born of God. And the only one that was born of God is Jesus Christ. So this is another example of this elegant solution that has nothing to do with man. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away again for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Remember, every one, we'll return to the study of Revelation 13 tomorrow, but in every head, of every crown, of every thing of that Antichrist, his name is blasphemy. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do. It is blasphemy. My name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. They shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto God, unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, Who alone? Who is he talking about? He's not talking about you or I. He's talking about Christ. You can search this Bible till hell freezes over, and you'll never find your name in it.
Because he's saying it to Zion.
Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, has that happened? Paul says in several places that the gospel has been preached to every creature. Every eye has seen it. But everybody's waiting for that to happen. Everybody's waiting for something so that they can see that it looks like it. Even you. The evidence that God is with you is because something goes right in a particular day. Can you see how evil that is? It's putting you above God. What?
I heard this clicking sound.
Depart ye, go out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her. Be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord God will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward. Anybody know what that is?
No.
Mm-hmm. remember we've talked before about the facing of an issue, no matter what it is that troubles you, the facing of it, whether it's an internal thing or an external or whatever, the facing of it is the guarantee that it's your response to the issue that defines whether or not. If it's your response to the issue and all your response is this isn't of God, God has forsaken me, the instant things don't go right, the instant you think something is wrong, the instant there's an action that doesn't meet your identity, you know what you're saying to God, if you can't rejoice in it, is this isn't from God. I've got to take action. I've got to complain. I've got to say something. I've got to do something.
Right. Not only is it not finished, it's I've got something to do to make it be finished. You know, you've got to help God in His cause.
It's remember all of those things in Ezekiel that we've studied over and over about how where you say God has forsaken the earth. And then you want to take God in a place that He isn't. It's all about this. It's all about not believing that every instant is finished and every instant is exactly as it should be and every millisecond is perfect. And this is the battlefield. It doesn't matter all this crap about whether you study the Bible or a member of Trinity or here or not, it doesn't. That's not the issues. That has nothing to do with the issues of life. The issues of life have to do with how you respond to the things that transpire. What?
Tom over here clicking his ball to something that's transpiring. I'm
It just goes on and on.
Well, what difference does it make?
Because it's distracting as hell. I'm trying to listen to you, and I've got this tap, tap, tap in my ear for 15 minutes. Please eat it.
Do you see any,
any
dissonance there?
I know.
No, you don't. Then if you're knowing, then you'd have to look at him and say, God, I hate you.
I have 25 times laughed at myself in the last 10 minutes for being even aware of what's going on.
Okay, then is there a possibility that maybe the issue is repentance? That has nothing to do with addressing the issue?
Yes, I know that.
Well, then why are you yelling at Tom?
Because I can't help it. I'm not really yelling at him.
So somebody else is doing it.
Well, I think it's part of what you're talking about, facing the issue.
I'm stuck in this. I'm sorry.
And you don't see that.
Let out the ass unless your Clyde died, and now it's my job to sit on the stage and wheeze and cough and spit. I know.
But that's not truth. That's just something somebody made up.
All I can tell you is, for 10 minutes, I did the best I could do. Finally, I couldn't do it anymore.
Again, analyze. Just think about that statement. Is there anything that you consider wrong with that statement?
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, that's a perfect example of the things of life. Whether it's somebody, you know, again. Remember, those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And it's the tendency of all men to blame somebody else or something else for your being out of the rest. They constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, part of the persecution is what other people do. And it takes it and puts it into the arena that you can understand the perfection of His holiness. That you can see it in the intimate details of life. What upsets you? What gets your attention? The only response can be not to try to endure, not to try to whatever you're trying to do, because then by trying, by definition, you're working it. He that worketh, the reward cannot be reckoned by grace. Because if you're working it the slightest bit, it has to be of debt. Some of you know a great deal about debt. And it's asinine for a believer to be in debt. That's why the whole, how we said so, I've said for 30 some years now, that how you handle money is a reflection of your spiritual condition. It matters not how much money you have, it's what you do with what you have. Everybody see this? But the real issue is how you handle the things, the natural, normal things of life. That's where the sanctification comes in. And it's where it goes to a point that breaks some definition of your idea of patience. Then you resurrect the Antichrist.
Those moments, there's a panic moment, you know, it's like, I don't know what to do. I started thinking of how ludicrous that would be if there weren't an emotional component, but if, like, God were actually telling you, okay, I won't be here for a while, this is actually your responsibility, you must, you are totally alone here, but go ahead, and you were just, I don't know, it's just, I was thinking of it without the emotional part of it, it's just so ludicrous.
Right, it is ludicrous. And that's why we are constructed like we are, so that you reach a point where you can't cope. Again, this is the coping is the evil. But then, because then it's hidden. But once it comes out, it doesn't make it right, it just makes it that it's seen, and hopefully that you can see it.
I don't know if this is in sync or not, but you were talking about God being your rearward. It's like He's covering your ass, you know. When something is bugging you, a lot of times you won't say anything because you want to cover yourself so you won't be exposed for what a fool you are for thinking the way you do. And
what do you mean by that?
I'm talking about myself.
Oh.
Not you, Harry, of course. But the consolation is to not worry about it, that you are covered and you can face whatever is before you with no fear.
But if there is a response, if something's gotten your attention that can't be rid of instantly, then it must be spoken.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You don't wait and cover yourself with silence. You stop Bible study and say, Tom, that damn clicking is irritating me, or please stop because I can't pay attention. Or anything, you face it. And this is a silly little example, but it's huge, because it's, like you say, the little things in life that we tend to...
That's what define your sanctification. The other is just your words or what you're doing, which are meaningless.
Yeah. But this is what's important, is the fact that you know you're covered. You don't have to worry about looking stupid or... But it's like you always saying to me, that the time is the problem. If you sit and wait and try for 10 minutes to, you know, make it go away, then you have
but again, the
issue.
The issue here isn't the 10 minutes is like, okay, it's the 3 months or 3 years or where you've developed truces. I mean, and again, I'm not picking anybody here. I'm just saying that this is best revealed in a marriage because you've got 50 million truces, that little acts of behavior that just bug you, but you better not say anything because it'll be the war. So there's a truce, and then another one. And pretty soon your whole life is based on these truces. And you do it with your relatives. You do it with, you know, all these... I want you to see that, you know, that's just that beast that's yelling, peace, peace, where there is no peace. And so you learn to tiptoe through the rules and the laws and so that you don't step on those landmines. Well, my position here is to push you into the landmines. But so should each one of you. So if you see someone, that you cause them. That's what love is. So you cause them to see it. That's what exhorting one another daily, what it is still called today. You exhort so that part of you that's still holding the God of Israel in prison, in a dungeon, deep inside you through your truces and likes and dislikes and all the other horseshit is can be freed, because that's a place in your vessel, in your temple, where you haven't allowed him to be. And that's why everything that bothers you is a blessing. It's an angel sent from God. It's Jesus knocking at the door.
I hear you. I'm smiling.
Truces are just, you can't believe how evil truces are. You know, I don't think any of you have to really spend any time thinking about what does Oli really think of me. I mean, if there's a, I'll tell you instantly what I think of you. You know, well, Oli, don't you like me?
Well,
If I ever thought about you, I probably wouldn't.
What's worse is it even to care with you.
Well, that's the point. Then you're a respecter of persons.
Right.
Respect isn't something you do. It's something that you are if you're in Him. You can't learn to be to respect or. That's just obedience to, you know. That's why what bugs me when people treat me differently than they treat others. Well, I'm supposed to honor you or something. No. Am I communicating?
Yes, Mr.
Can you thank Tom?
All right, we spent the day on doing the, I thought we'd just spend 5 minutes and get back to Revelation, but we'll get back to Revelation tomorrow.
This thing, these verses we read this morning, seems to me like they're the biggest thing in the whole story of Israel. Like waiting centuries to hear God say that.
And they read it, and then while it, during this time is when all that stuff happened to Zechariah in the temple.
It could be bigger.
I mean, it's.
Stand
right.
Up, sit down.
I need to ride to Portland this afternoon about 15.
Guess you're out of luck.
No, I'm not even. I'm on the bus.
Take a big guy.
Walk around.